This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Tyson been to my masjid a few times. One time he came
to your mosque. Mike Tyson, yes.
We were at the UFC fight in Miami, and you walked up with Trump.
Typically, rarely, nothing good happens after you hear Allah Akbar. It's never like flowers and roses and bunny rabbits. It's
Allahu Akbar.
The Sharia law was one of the conversations that if a country is being ran under Sharia law.
And if you study historically, Muslims always want the best for their country.
And that faith has at its core the extinction of others.
So you got to hate your wife.
Hogwash. It's crazy.
Tell us a little bit about Ahmed Didan.
So who? This Christian missionary got stuck into an Arab sheikh day in and day out, preaching to him that you're wasting your time, ya sheikh. Pray five times a day, up and down, up and down.
We needed the Deen Center to be here. We are blessed, alhamdulillah.
And contributing towards the cause of your creator, we're here hard at work. You know, we need a lot of work to get this where we need to have it. We can't wait to have it finished.
Working hard to get the educational Dawah Center open so we can educate humanity on the most misunderstood way of life out there, yet the fastest growing Islam. So do your part and contribute, donate right now.
Assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. My next guest, Imam Siraj Wahaj, is Imam of Masjid El Taqwa in Brooklyn. He's a prolific lecturer, community activist, the leader of the Muslim Alliance of North America, former vice president of ISNA, and he became famous for his successful efforts in fighting drugs and crime in his neighborhood. In 1991, he became the first Muslim to recite, get this, the opening prayer of the Quran.
Mr. Speaker, it is an honor for me to welcome the House Chamber's guest chaplain today, the Imam of Rashid al-Taqwa, Siraj Wahaj of Brooklyn, New York.
All belong to the Lord, O God, the Lord and source of all the worlds. All belong to thee, who shaped us and covered us in the wounds of our neighbors. Covered us black and white, brown, red and yellow. Praise belong to me. Who created us from males and females and made us into nations and tribes that we may know one another. Most gracious, most merciful, all-knowing, all-wise, just God.
He's here with us.
And his final messenger's Muhammad, peace be upon him. This is our religion, Islam, Islam. This is the Deen Show.
Welcome
to the Deen Show. The Deen Show.
Where did I recite it?
At Congress.
Congress, there you go. You gotta let the people know where. In Congress, in the United States.
How are you doing?
Too good. I'm grateful to Allah. We just finished the fast of Ramadan.
Yes.
And I am really grateful to Allah. But I have to be honest with you, my traveling is nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
The month of Ramadan, I was in my masjid maybe three or four times.
Yeah.
Nonstop, alhamdulillah.
We were just talking, and you had an interesting story. You used to walk the streets of New York, even here in Chicago, with Muhammad Ali?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Well, more in New York.
New York?
Yeah, Muhammad Ali, may Allah bless him, he was really the people's champ. You know, I remember one day we were walking, we were going to the United Nations, right? Everybody stopped him, even the police. Muhammad Ali, can I get your autograph? And went into the United Nations, everybody, you know, hugged him, and he was the people's champion.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very, very much loved. And by the way, he was very, very funny. You know, one day he was on a plane, and the flight attendant said, Mr. Muhammad Ali, please put on your seatbelt. He said, Superman don't need no seatbelt. She said to him, Superman don't need no plane. So he put on the seatbelt.
She came back good, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about, so you know my first teacher, Dr. Amir Ali.
Ah.
He used to print the old brochures. and the Dawah brochures.
I know, I got them. I got thousands from
and
him.
And Muhammad Ali used to come get those and pass them out. He wasn't shy about doing that.
No. But I want you to understand about him passing it out. He did. People asked for his autograph.
Yes.
So he signed them and then gave that to them. Mm-hmm. So Muhammad Ali was not shy at all about that. He was the people's champion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amazing. I wanted to go ahead and take this opportunity because you're somebody who's got a lot of experience. The tempo now and the atmosphere is kind of changed now with what's happening in Gaza. And recently, have you heard of this PBD podcast? It was a friend of ours, Patrick Ben David. I don't know if you probably haven't heard about it.
No, right?
But a lot of Muslims are upset. This is one of the bigger podcasts, and he did go in the direction of wanting to work together with Muslims.
Great.
And we were very elated to be a part of that. I actually met him, went down, and they had this program.
Very good.
A couple Muslims, a couple Christians, and dialogue with the at that time. And but I want to go ahead and play this clip here.
Please. Okay.
And get your reaction to
okay.
it.
Okay. Got people that are radicalized by a certain faith, and that faith has at its core the extinction of others. Anything that is an infidel is subject to extinction. That's the simple the way it is.
Just to give you some more context here, so a week prior to this, you had another person who went into a mall. He killed 6 people. 5 of those were women. Even a child got injured. 12 in critical condition. They labeled this mental health issue. This guy was obviously he had some mental health issues. Now
they labeled him as a Muslim.
No, the first one wasn't a Muslim.
Gotcha.
Second one, nut job, goes and does something opposite to Islam. This has nothing to do with Islam. He went out and he attacked this bishop. But now, conveniently, now they label that he's a Muslim, and he gets the sticker. It's terrorism. Anyway,
you know what? If people just read the book, right?
Read the book.
Like give an example, right? There are about 8 billion people on the planet Earth.
Before you go on, look. So his main thing here is anything that's an infidel is subject to extinction. He's pretty much saying anyone who practices, who's outside of Islam, who's not Muslim,
I'm gonna address that, right?
Yeah.
You know.
My question to you, please. I'm sorry. My question to you is: you're a veteran. You're you're one of the original imams of America here. Is this guy, what religion is he talking about? Is this what Islam teaches you?
He's not talking about my religion.
Okay, all right.
He's not talking about the religion of 2 billion people on the planet.
All right.
This is the point I'm going to make, right? Yeah. We share this planet, 8 billion people, 196,940,000 square miles. 2 billion Muslims, 2 billion Christians, 1,100,000,000 Hindu, 500 million Buddhists, 25 million Sikhs, and about 13 million Jews. And every one of them have the right to practice their religion as they seem fit. Allah mentioned Quran, La sha'arabuka la ja'nan umatun wahida wa la yazaluna mukhtalifina. If it was God's choice, everyone would have the same religion. So that's number one. What does the Quran? The Quran is our book. Let's go to the Quran. Wa anzala Torah fiha hudan wa nur. And we sent down the Torah, and it is guidance and light, and gave him who, Isa, Jesus, the Injil, the Gospel, fihi hudan wa nur, and it is guidance and light. Check this verse out. Allah speaking to the Muslim men, permitted for you to marry are the chaste women of the people of the book. Number one. Number two. Permitted for you Muslims to eat the food of the people of the book. Why? Because they were given the same commandments.
Why? So
it's crazy. I can marry a Christian woman or a Jewish woman. I'm permitted to marry them. And you have Muslims who have.
But he's saying, look, if they're not Muslim, you gotta annihilate her. You gotta hate your wife.
Hogwash. It's crazy. I mean, you know, either he's crazy or he knows better.
I think he's repeating the Islamophobia, the talking points that are put out there by the hate industry. What do you think?
Let me tell you something. Absolutely. You know what's something interesting, right? We as Muslims believe that the day of judgment will not come until after Jesus returns.
Mm-hmm.
And it's him, Jesus, who will destroy the Antichrist. It's what we believe in. You go and ask the name of Muslim children, Muslim male children. It's not all Muhammad. Yeah, we love Muhammad. We have Muslims with the name Moses and Abraham and Jesus and all the prophets, because we believe in all of them. We believe that Prophet Muhammad was the last prophet. That's it.
Hogwash, like what you said.
Hogwash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's move on to the next one. Okay, so this is...
But you see, I don't think, Eddie, I think it's important to note that we should be about dialogue.
Oh boy.
We should be about...
Go ahead.
Having discussion and
I think this is dangerous, though, because you have...
This is dangerous.
You have... Why is it dangerous?
It's dangerous because it's misinformation. You're going to start thinking that this is the way Muslims think about you. Think about this. 1,400 years ago, when Islam started with the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, people were very hostile toward Islam.
Mm-hmm.
And the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, and his companions, they taught the people. They taught the people Islam. They had dialogue. And this is what we're talking about. We're talking about having discussions. And listen, certainly you're going to find some radical people anywhere.
Yeah.
Whether they're in Islam or Christianity, Hinduism, Buddhism, you're going to find people like that. But is that the religion?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we make a distinction.
There's a verse from the Quran. When I hear this, I usually go back to this verse. It's chapter 60, verse 8, that God Almighty, Allah is saying, the Creator, that Allah, God Almighty, the Creator, does not forbid you from dealing justly and kindly with those who have not fought you because of your religion or driven you out of your homes. Right there, this kills this argument right here, doesn't it? This nonsense that's being spewed.
I think we give them too much platform, be honest with you.
Mm.
I agree with what you're saying, 100%. Yeah. But I don't think he speaks for the average American.
Mm-hmm.
Even those who don't accept Islam.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Even historically, if you look at it, if you go back from, let's say, history, if you look at, for instance, from Salahuddin Ayyubi to Omar radiallahu anh to the Medina Charter, if you look at when Muslims ruled Spain, or even Jerusalem, how was it between Muslims, Jews, and Christians, the relationship? Muslims had the upper hand at one point. If this was true,
yeah,
I mean, historically, what do we see happening?
I think that one complaint,
yes,
about Muslims is that we're not out there talking to the people. We spend a lot of time talking to ourselves,
mm-hmm.
but we don't talk to the people. If the American people understood what Islam represents, what we teach, they would be shocked.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what they think at all. And you know, we can live in peace with everybody. Listen, I have many identities, right? Ana Afrikiyun, I'm African.
Yes.
Ana Aswad, I'm black. Ana Muslim. Ana Amerikiyun, I'm American. This is my country, and I want the best for my country. And if you study historically, Muslims always want the best for their country.
I like that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Let's go to the next part of this interview or this podcast with our friend Patrick Ben David and crew. And these are the co-hosts there. And this is the other one. And let's have a look at this and get your reaction to this.
This 16-year-old boy who they believe to have said Allah Akbar.
That's what they're saying. That's what Australians are messaging me. That was said.
I'm just going to come out and say, typically, rarely, nothing good happens after you hear Allah Akbar. It's never like flowers and roses and bunny rabbits. It's stabbings and shootings and bombs. But no disrespect. That's kind of what it's associated with. But this 16...
Allah Akbar means God is the greatest. You know? And I think, you know, there may be some Muslims who do some bad things. There's some Christians and Jews, black people, white people who do some bad things, right? But don't blame the religion of Islam. So what they're doing is they want to, you know, take a few incidences and they want to color all of the Muslims, the 2 billion Muslims, the same way, as if this is what we teach. And they need to be honest and say, by the way, this is not the overwhelming majority of Muslims. The overwhelming majority of Muslims are peaceful, wherever they are, whatever country they're in. And let's be honest. Are there some Muslims who do bad things? Absolutely. Are there some Christians who do bad things? Absolutely. Are there some Jews who do bad things? Absolutely. But you don't condemn the religion.
You used to be a Christian.
Yes.
And in the church...
By the way,
yes.
Those of us who converted from Christianity to Islam, we have an advantage over our Muslim brothers and sisters in this respect. The Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, says, إِذَا أَمَنَا بِعِيسَى ثُمَّ أَمَنَا بِي فَلَهُ أَجْرَانِ. Whoever believes in Jesus and then believes in me will have a double reward.
Mm-hmm.
Ha!
MashaAllah. You used to say hallelujah, didn't you?
Of course. I still say hallelujah once in a while.
Isn't that synonymous? Like hallelujah would be praise God?
Yeah.
So Allah Akbar, praise God.
Of course.
So what's this guy talking about?
I have no idea.
He said nothing.
You need to be on your show, and you need to talk to him.
Would you talk to someone like this?
100%, of course.
We need to have these conversations. But see, the thing is, like, there's no one there to give this pushback, and they're out there, and then people are listening to this stuff and repeating it, and then people develop this fear now. They start to fear Muslims, and then this leads to you now hating your neighbor, violence can happen, and they're fueling this. This is...
When the prophet came 1400 years ago, the time that in which he lived is called al-jahiliyyah, mm-hmm. time of ignorance.
Yes.
And he transformed that whole society, and he did it, you know, sometimes the people fought against him,
mm-hmm.
and they fought back. But the point is that there's no compulsion, like ikrah fiddin, there's no compulsion in religion. You can't make people to believe.
Mm-hmm.
But do we proselytize? Do we invite? We certainly do. It's called the da'wah. You know better than anyone else, inviting people to at least understand our religion,
mm-hmm.
what the religion is all about.
So when someone makes a statement like that, I mean, Muslims, like, he's good friends. He's met Mike Tyson. Have you ever met Mike Tyson?
Are you serious?
Yeah, so Mike Tyson on his show.
We were at the UFC fight in Miami, and you walked up with Trump, and that place lost their mind when you guys walked. I don't know if you...
People like the Trump is the man. Trump is the man. He has the fan base, he has the supporters, and they're going to stick with him to the end.
How has he been to you over the years?
I haven't been in a bad moment with him.
Really? The same guy?
The same show.
Mike Tyson been to my master a few times. One time he came...
To your mosque, Mike Tyson.
Yes. He came to me after the khutbah. I said, Imam, can I talk to you? I said, yeah. He said, I really enjoyed the khutbah.
Yeah.
And one time he came, he said, Imam, I can't find my shoes.
Yeah, Mike Tyson, he couldn't find his shoes?
Couldn't find his shoes.
Yeah. So Mike Tyson says Allahu Akbar when he prays, right?
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, ashadu an la ilaha illallah, ashadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, hayya ala salat, hayya ala al-falah, qabtamit al-salat, qabtamit al-salat, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar.
God is the greatest, God is greater. He's had Habib, another Muslim, you know,
of course,
Habib.
Of course,
yeah. I can only imagine if somebody just sees you, maybe they don't recognize who you are, and they had one too many drinks, and they try to pick a fight with you, and what you tell them? Has that ever happened? If somebody doesn't know who you are, they...
A couple of times within the room, yes.
I mean, this is a disrespect. But he said with all due respect, but this is a big disrespect. We're still laughing, but this is...
I don't pay a lot of attention to them. I think that we should have... Reasonable pushback.
Yes, reasonable pushback.
Reasonable pushback. We should, you know, don't get overly angry.
Uh-huh.
Because either they're ignorant or they know exactly what they're doing.
Mm.
Right? And I always try to give people the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
So some people, they just don't know. I didn't know about Islam until 1975. I really learned about Islam with the death of Mr. Elijah Muhammad. I was in the Nation of Islam. And got a chance to really to learn. So most people, they don't know. Most Americans really don't know about Islam. They're beginning now,
mm-hmm.
because they have Muslim neighbors, Muslim teachers, Muslim fellow students, and they're beginning to see Islam and say, oh wow, this is really... And you have a number of Americans that are converting to Islam, like me,
mm-hmm.
like yourself and like others that are converting to Islam. We didn't know what Islam was really about.
Let's go on. So we covered two. We'll do one more. One more from this PBD podcast. We're going straight to one of the top imams in America, Imam Siraj Wahaj, to see, are they onto something? it's something that we don't know?
The Sharia law was one of the conversations that if a country is being ran under Sharia law, you would be killed because that's what the laws are. And here's one of the most open, honest guys that's being interviewed, and the interviewer is almost blown away. This is in Canada, I believe.
Yeah.
And he's like, wow, I actually appreciate the fact that you're being straight up honest. Watch this right here. Go ahead, Rob.
What happened to a gay couple in Palestine, sir?
What?
What happened to a gay couple in Gaza?
Executed according to Islamic law. Islam doesn't endorse gayism. Islam doesn't endorse homosexuality. Just like Canada doesn't endorse a lot of things.
So would you like to see Sharia law in Canada replace Canadian law?
At some point it will. You know, because we have families, we are making babies. We are not. Wow. Your population is going down the slum. Right? And by 2060, according to Pew Research Institute, your research, by 2016, Muslims will be the biggest religious group the world over. What are you going to do then?
Actually,
are you going to oppose Sharia is even then?
Well, you know what? I'm very appreciative of the honesty. We don't usually get that.
One day we can have a Muslim majority nation here in Canada. Right in your face.
Right.
Seems like they found some guy on the street and they paid him.
They always do that.
Yeah.
You know something interesting, right? You know, off time you talk about Muslims, you talk about the Sharia, you talk about law. You know, it's interesting, for the first 16 years, Allah never even mentioned alcohol. Right? If in fact when Allah was first revealed in the Quran, the way he put it, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنَ الْخَمْرَ وَمَيْسِرُ, they're asking you, the people asking you about, you know, intoxicants. And Allah says, well, say there's some profit in some things that's not, and the thing is not so good. And then finally one of the companions was drinking alcohol, wasn't prohibited at that time, and he led the prayer and he messed up. And then Allah said, do not approach prayer while you're intoxicated until you know what you're saying. And then finally Allah reveals, leave it alone. It's haram. It's not permitted. Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet, said, if Allah had first revealed, thou shalt not drink alcohol, the people would have said, we would never give it up. See, I think sometimes Muslims make a mistake. Let the first thing you invite them to is the oneness of God. That's what our religion is not a religion of thou shalt not do, thou shalt not do. Certainly there's things that's prohibited.
Yes.
That's not my point. But my point is, when you're going to talking to a new person about Islam, you're talking about God, make him have an appreciation of God, Allah. And you can't do this, because Aisha said that if Allah had first revealed that, they will say, I'll never give up.
Invite him to the absolute pure monotheism.
Yeah, and then after a while, then you will stop. Yeah. You will stop, because once you understand, once you appreciate what that this is not good for you, drugs is not good for you, alcohol is not good for you, committing adultery, fornication is not good for you, and then because of your love for Allah, God, then you give these things up.
Let's go ahead and shift now, so we cleared this up. Okay, well, let's touch upon this. So he's pretty much saying, and I like to give the example of that Sharia, because they make it seem like this is the boogeyman coming to get you. But we know the Ten Commandments, that's God's law. The Sharia, could we say, Sheikh, this is the Sharia. Sharia in the Arabic Bible, you have, I believe, like 200 some times it's mentioned in the Bible, Sharia, right? This is God's law.
Of course.
Yeah, but people, what they do is they take, what is the penal code is like 1-2% of the whole, what is it, around that much?
You know better than me.
Yeah. So then they focus on that, just like if Martians came from outer space and then they want to know about America, and you're telling them about electric chair, you're telling them about gas, death by lethal injection, you're talking about the penal code instead of talking about all the other beautiful things that the Constitution has to offer.
Exactly.
So, I mean, this is not being genuous. This is not being...
But again,
see,
be honest with you, I think we give too much attention to these kinds of people.
Yeah.
Be honest with you, yeah. Because, you know, they're on the fringes, you know, and they're trying to make a lot of noise. And you find out that many of these people don't have good intention.
Yeah.
See, with us, see, we can respect the religion of Jews and Christians.
Yes.
And Hindus and Buddhists and the rest. And we can live together in peace. You know, we're not gonna force you to accept our religion. There's no such thing. There's no such thing in Islam as you making someone become a Muslim.
Crusades, Inquisitions did that.
Yeah,
right, wasn't it?
You know, and then you know one of the things that's interesting. Aisha radiallahu anha, peace and blessing be upon him, may Allah be pleased with her, said that she asked her husband, was that day more difficult than the Battle of Uhud?
Uh-huh.
Uhud was a battle where the Muslims were winning, but they disobeyed the commandment of the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him. So what was going to be a victory became a defeat, and 85 Muslim men lost their lives, including the Prophet's uncle, Hamza.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you have 85 Muslims that died, and the Prophet's uncle died. And Aisha is asking her husband, the Messenger of Allah, has there been a day more difficult than that? He said, yes. When he went to an area called Taif, what was he doing? Inviting people to what was going to benefit them, the oneness of God. And they threw stones at him, ran him away. He was bleeding. And when he was going away, it was a sunny day, and all of a sudden there was a shade, and he looked up, and it was the angel of the mountain. He said, I'm the angel of the mountain, and the angel Jibril, and said, here is the angel of the mountain, and God has seen what your people have done to you. Just give the way, the word, and they would rain down mountains on them. And the Prophet said, no. He said, I pray that someone from their loins will become Muslims and or who believe in God the Almighty. So here was a time that these people in the Battle of Uhud, when the Muslims lost, look who became Muslim, right? Abu Sufyan ibn Harb, who was the commander, mm-hmm. he became Muslim. Khalid ibn Walid, the commander of the right flank, he became Muslim. Abu Jahl ibn Ikram ibn Abi Jahli, commander of the left flank, he became Muslim. Amr ibn al-As, the commander of the cavalry, he became Muslim. So these people fought against the Muslims, who defeated the Muslims. Many of them became Muslim once they understood and appreciated what Islam was.
They became Arabs?
No, they became Muslim.
What does that mean, a Muslim?
Muslim is one who submits their will to do the will of God.
Can you say that's the Lord's prayer, where you have, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy will be done?
Yes.
Is that Islam?
One God, yes.
Yes.
Of course.
Submitting your will to the will of God.
100%.
That's what a Muslim is.
Yeah. I think that it's this, you know, that period was called Al-Jahiliya, period of ignorance. And I think most people, they just don't know. I think I always felt that when people know better, they do better.
Yeah.
By and large.
All right, Matt, the next clip I'm going to show, we're going to take a turn and we're going to talk about Jesus. We're going to let the bishop talk about Jesus for a second.
Okay.
And then I want to get your reaction and what you now believe about Jesus, contrast to what you believed before while you were Christian. So let's watch this clip. Okay, so before I show this, just give you some context. The bishop was the one that got attacked. And again, we condemn this. This was
the same bishop here?
Now, this is the bishop that's actually criticizing the bishop that got attacked. You'll see why.
Oh, okay.
This is one of the head Assyrian bishops in Australia.
Oh, okay.
And the other one's also from Australia. So this is what he has to say about the bishop.
Oh, okay.
And much of what he's going to say, you'll probably be like, we agree with it. And then you'll see why he's saying it. And then we'll contrast that with our belief in Jesus. I think I'm using this as a teaching moment about Jesus.
All right.
So please, those who refer to him as Bishop of Assyrian Church of the East, be careful. Don't commit that mistake, because we'll come at you legally. I can promise you, we'll come at you legally. I have no habit of talking about people, but only I talk when I see someone talking ill about Christianity. This man, his name is, he calls himself Mary, but his name is Robert Schliemann. He is not a member of the Assyrian Church of the East. He's never been a member of the Assyrian Church of the East. We do not recognize his teachings. We completely forbid him from entering into any of our churches. He was ordained by the ancient Church of the East, by Metropolitan Mariakon. Then he was defrogged. It means he was suspended from his church. Now he doesn't belong to no church. It came to my attention, he used the word Holy Apostolic Catholic Assyrian Church of the East. Immediately when I saw that, we sent him a letter through our lawyers. We said, hey, be careful. You do not belong to this church. You cannot use this church. Now let's see what he's going to say here.
I just want to hold the baby Jesus in my arms. Because I want to pinch his fat thighs. You know the baby when he's so cute. Rah. Especially when they are a little bit fat, so they have layers on their thighs and the arms here. I want to hold him as a baby because I will definitely make him cry by pinching him, kissing him, and spoiling him, and everything. Like, and then I can, if I go to hell after that, that's fine. I carried him as a baby. And then he would make a poo-poo. And then he would go like that at me. It's okay. I'll wash him. Man, if I could wash him. Oh.
He tried to lower Christianity to unbelievable level that has never happened in the 2,000 years of history of Christianity. You talk about him in this way, that he wants to pinch him, to make him cry. This description of the child is abhorrent. It's just unacceptable in today's society. No one even can pinch a child to make him cry. You'll be arrested of abuse. But for him, it doesn't matter. He wants this child, this Christ, God, to make him cry. But the worst of all, he says, even if I go to hell, it doesn't matter. He spoke about hell as if he's going to a picnic.
And to be honest with you, I think really we pay too much attention for silliness. It's silly.
Silly.
To make a lecture about that silly man. Just teach the truth, you know. I think
he's become one of the most popular bishops in Australia.
The one
he's talking about.
Are you serious?
They're making him a living martyr now.
Really?
Because of this, what happened, this attack we condemn, obviously. So now you have this Christian, and he's the head of Australia, and the bishops there, they're condemning this. So now, how do you view Jesus? And I think Islam solves this debate, like, you know, between them. They're making God into a human being, and he's talking about washing Jesus, washing God, pretty much.
You see,
God.
It's too silly for me.
It's
very silly, right? You know, we believe in Jesus, you know, absolutely one of the great prophets. We don't believe in the be God or the Son of God. We can argue about that on another day.
Yeah.
But I think that to give this man a platform, I think really is a waste of time. I think that the bishop can do other things, you know, they can teach the people the truth. And again, we have no problem with, you know, people preaching what they believe is to be the right religion. It's fine. You know, we differ in some areas. You know, there's, to us, God is one. Right. You know, he's neither born nor does he have children. So that, you know, so we can have an honest discussion about that and we can agree to disagree. But I think that really, that's silly to me.
So now when you were a Christian, did you at that point, what was your belief at Jesus at that time? Because many Christians, they struggle with Trinity. They struggle with, like, okay, you have God the Father, God the Son. Which one am I praying to? Where did you fit in at that time?
You know what's funny, right? I remember I was 7 years old.
Yeah.
And living in Marcy Projects, right?
Yeah.
Sunday morning, getting dressed to go to church.
Uh-huh.
And I said to my mother, why we got to go to church anyway?
Uh-huh.
So my mother took a belt, and she hit me a few times. They said, now you understand? I said, yes, ma'am. But I didn't understand. So that was the theology, that Jesus was the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
And we believed it only because it was said, right? Now, my mother made me and my brother go to church. Me and my brother got an award for 100% attendance in church. But what does that mean? It means 52 times a year, Sunday, we went to church. You know, I go to the masjid almost every day when I'm in town, almost every day, all day long. So most people don't have a real foundation of what religion is. And alhamdulillah that because Islam came and came to correct the mistakes that mm-hmm. people made. Some people made mistakes, theological mistakes, and one of them we believe in making Jesus into a God.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt about it, Jesus raised the dead by Allah's permission, cured those who were blind and the leprous. Jesus did all of that, but I think sometimes people, maybe they went a little bit too far and called actually Jesus, praying to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one we pray to, and that's the Almighty God. We say Allah in the Arabic language. So I think that there's some room for discussion. Many Christians, many of them have become Muslims.
You have a lot.
Yeah,
have you seen that also in your mosque there in New York?
Mm, of course.
Because it kind of ends this internal struggle. You have the fitra, the innate nature to worship the Creator. But now you make him part of his creation. You make him a human being. And now you have this, like you're saying, this silliness.
Yeah.
That you're over here bringing God down to a level of a child. And you're describing him.
It's problematic. Once you make human beings, you know, gods, is problematic. Allah mentioned in the Quran, he says to Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, "Qul innama ana bashirun mithlukum." I'm a human being just like you. Jesus was a great, 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 great man, but he was a human being. And we just, I don't know what else to say.
Do you love him?
I love, of course.
You love Jesus?
What? Yeah, of course.
I love him too.
I can tell you, let me tell you something. In New York, I live in New York, right? We have a masjid called Masjid Isa Ibn Maryam, named after Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
There's a masjid in State Street called Masjid Dawood, named after the Prophet David.
You know what we have five buildings there at the Dean Center. The Dawa Center Educational Center is the first building. The second building is the Masjid. And you know what the name is?
What?
Jesus Islamic Center.
Okay, there you go. See, you can't, we may have a different theology, but you can't deny that we love Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We love him. And not just by naming our children after him, naming our masjids after him, our schools after him, but we genuinely love him. But we only worship one God, the Creator. There's not two.
The same God that Jesus worshiped.
100%.
Yeah. And you can't, how can you be the Antichrist if you love Christ? If you love Jesus,
right,
the Messiah.
Exactly, right.
Yeah.
See, you can say Muslims have a different understanding about Jesus, but you can't say we don't love Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say that we don't respect Jesus. That's one thing you can't say.
Mm-hmm.
Say, be honest. You know, the Muslims, they, you know, they're good people, but, you know, they don't view Jesus the same way we view him. Okay, I accept mm-hmm. that, you know. Mm-hmm. In the end, God is going to tell us.
Mm-hmm.
He'll tell us where we were and who differed. But I think that it's important for us to have dialogue.
Yeah.
That's what I love about you, Eddie, is that you believe in having dialogue.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, because if we don't, you know, we fight. And mm-hmm. there's no reason to fight.
Yeah, and come talk with us. I always say often, come talk. Read the book, like you said. Read the book. Pick up the Quran. Read it.
Right.
We actually give it away for free. You go to thedeanshow.com, and people can go there, and we give it out for free. We have a number, 1-800-662-ISLAM, 4752. Ask your questions.
How many of these Qurans have you given out?
Oh, man, this is thousands. I mean, over really? The years. I mean, we've been doing now since 2006. So
may Allah bless you, brother. I think that what you do is incredible.
Alhamdulillah. And you're one of our first teachers, so so alhamdulillah.
I'm the little guy.
Sheikh, so tell us before we conclude. So what was it at the end, going from being a Christian, then the Nation of Islam, then to Islam, and then you had also you were friends with Muhammad Ali. What about Malcolm? Did you meet Malcolm?
No, Malcolm. I love the Malcolm, by the way. Yeah. And my mother would tell you that when I'm in the house. As a teenager, 14 years old, I'm quoting Malcolm. Back during slavery, there were two kinds of slaves. There was a field Negro and a house Negro. So when Malcolm was assassinated, I think it was something like 14 years old.
Uh-huh.
So it wasn't until, interestingly enough, when I was a freshman in college, New York University, that's I had my first experience with the Nation of Islam. Some of the brothers from the Nation of Islam came to my school. It's interesting that no Muslim ever came to my school, but the brothers of the Nation of Islam did. And they would sit down next to us in the cafeteria. How you doing, my black brother? And then they would talk to us about Islam. Me and my best friend, a young man named Andrew, we came to New York University together, and we both joined the Nation of Islam at the same time. So I think that the Nation of Islam did some great things. Malcolm did some great things. And by the way, according to the FBI, every year 350,000 inmates become Muslims.
350,000
every year, and they in. You know, we have Muslim chaplains. I know a lot of them, and I've been to 50 states. You can probably guess the two states that I didn't visit. You can probably guess Hawaii. You would say
Hawaii
and Alaska.
Okay,
that's the two ones you would think about, right? And every one of them I went to, every one of those prisons that I went to, every one of those states that I went to, brothers would say, Imam Siraj, we listened to your tapes in prison. Ask me how many of my tapes that I put in prison, not even one.
Mm.
How did I get there? And I think that I learned the lesson that we have to engage the people.
Yes.
The Nation of Islam, I personally knocked on thousands of doors, inviting people to what I thought was Islam, thousands of them. So the brothers in the Nation of Islam, maybe, you know, we have some differences in ideology, how we understand the religion, but they were committed.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see the Muslims as committed as the brothers and the sisters of the Nation of Islam were committed. So I didn't meet Malcolm, loved him, and the rest is history.
And then you made that transition, Christianity, Nation of Islam, to Islam.
Yes.
What was the thing that finally did it for you, that you actually crossed over and you accepted? And Malcolm did the same thing. Muhammad Ali did the same thing.
One of the things, you know, I played basketball.
Yeah.
I played for my junior high school. Uh-huh. I played for my high school, and I played for college.
Yes.
And when I played for college, I was pretty good. I wasn't great, but I was pretty good, right? I was known for two things,
yeah.
Prolific defender and an outside shot. You know, the shot in the corner, for me, is like a layup, right? But interestingly enough, when I went to NYU, the captain of the basketball team was a Muslim, Jerry Tenex. And so we sat a lot and we spoke. And once he explained to me what we thought was Islam, but I think at the root of that was the love of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look at the movie Malcolm X, in the beginning, the actor who played Malcolm X, his hair was, we call conked, straight hair. And black men used to straighten their hair. And why? It was the imitation of white people. But in 1964, 1965, James Brown had a song said, "Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud." And black men no longer straightened their hair. They had afros. Me, when I joined the Nation of Islam, I had a big afro. It was so big you can land a helicopter on it. That's how big it was, right? Men wearing dashikis, black men wearing dashikis, black women changing their hair, not looking like white women. And even the names at that time took on African names, took on Islamic names and things like that. So it was like a revolution for me. I still respected the Christianity, still respected the brothers and sisters from the Nation of Islam. And yet, alhamdulillah, Allah has guided us to Islam. I'm grateful, ain't mad at nobody, you know, but I'm willing to share our religion with whomever.
So what would you say in conclusion now to our friend Patrick Ben David and the people who are fans who've watched this program now, they're listening to us, and we have the one of the main Muslim imams here of America. We refuted some of these blunders, a lot of these false statements that they were making, and in an essence of building bridges and talking, dialogue, what would you say to our friend Patrick and the fans out there?
I do think, you know, one thing I've learned to do over the years, to respect people's opinion. I differ with you, and we should have dialogue. That's how we grow. And I love what you do, you know, and I think others should have some dialogue. And I think that sometimes, listen, maybe one day they become Muslim, you don't know. Mm-hmm. There are people who used to criticize Muslims in Islam. Now they're Muslims themselves. So I'm saying, and I'm not naive to think that everybody can become Muslim. Everybody's not going to become Muslim. But it's fine. That's why I started the beginning of this talk when I mentioned what Allah says in Quran, permitted for you to marry. You're married. You're permitted to marry the chaste women of the people of the book. That's enough to say, oh, okay. Oh, yeah, you can't eat any food, because our book said the same thing. And people will be shocked once they read the Quran and compare it with the Bible. There are many things that are very similar. Some things differ here and there. But I do think, Ed, that it's important, Eddie, that it's important dialogue, you know, and argue in the best way, not in a very negative way. But, you know, say, listen, I get it. I understand your point. This is what we say. In the end, We learn to respect one another. And you got to remember, and as I alluded to earlier, during the time when Prophet Muhammad was here, there are a lot of people who were hostile to Islam became some of the best Muslims. He said, "Khayru ummati qarni," the best of my ummah is my generation. This is a generation that was called Jahiliya. So that should be a hint for the Muslims that what we should do is not going around beating people, but going around sharing our faith with others. And I think that if we do it in the right way, you'd be surprised. People, some of them will become Muslim, some of them won't, but at least they will say, oh, okay, good. You know, there was a Jewish rabbi years ago. He used to come visit me in my masjid every week.
Jewish rabbi,
right? Prominent. I never said his name publicly. And he said one day, he said, Imam, I tell my Jewish friends about you. And I said, Rabbi, I tell my Muslim friends about you. Had a very, very good understanding. He come to me when I went to go get my haircut at the barbershop a couple blocks from my masjid. And we spoke. And I asked him once, I said, Rabbi, I'm gonna ask you a frank question. How could you justify taking the land of people who already occupy it? He said, Imam, I have to be honest with you. I can't. I just can't do it.
Wow.
Some people, they know. Some people, they won't say, but they know. So I think that our responsibility is to have frank conversations with people and leave it like that.
I've heard this hadith. It's an authentic statement from the last and final message sent to mankind, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, comparing himself to a brick. And I've heard you often share this hadith.
You gotta remind me, because
where I'll start it off and you finish it. And I like how you go into it. Where the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, he was making reference to a beautiful, beautiful.
Yes. People go around looking at this building, and it's beautiful, and they say, look at a building, this building. He said, but there's one brick that's missing. And the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, said, my similitude and the similitude of the prophets who came before me is like a man who built a building, perfectly built together, beautiful, but one brick is missing. I'm that brick, right? So really it's to teach us again how very similar we are. And I think that's been my theme today, that the theme of the religions in essence the same, especially the so-called Christians, so-called Jews, and the Muslims. You know, we are called people of the book, so we have a book, and the book that they have we also respect and love. We call it the book of Allah, the Almighty, the Torah, the Injil, the Gospel, and the Torah, especially because that's the Quran talks about it. The Prophet spoke about them, and then he says, he uses the word sometimes arju, which means I hope. He says, I will have more followers than any other prophet on the Day of Judgment. Arju an takunu nisfa ahlu jannah. He said to his people, I hope that you have the people of Jannah. So there's not a paradise for the Jews and a paradise for the Christians and a paradise for the Muslims. Is one paradise. We believe that. We understand that. We accept that. You know, and I think that there has to be more dialogue. And kudos to you again for all of your efforts.
Alhamdulillah.
Your sincere efforts.
Thank
you know,
you
don't beat up people. I mean, some of our Muslims beat up Christians, like some Christians try to beat up Muslims, you know. But I think that we have to have a better spirit. And I want to commend Imam Waruthuddin Muhammad. He was like that. He was very good in interfaith and discussion. You know, I don't know, some Muslims don't like it, some Christians don't like it, some Jews don't like it. I always believe that we should have dialogue, always.
Absolutely.
100%.
Yes. Shay, thank you very much. Thank you very much for spending some time with us. When I'm looking at you, I remember, and we can end here, I just wanted to ask you this question. You had me thinking about the time you were moderating and Ahmed Didat.
You had my guy.
Tell us a little bit about Ahmed Didat.
So who? This Christian missionary got stuck into an Arab sheikh. Then you didn't be out. Preaching to him that you're wasting your time, ya sheikh. Pray 5 times a day, up and down, up and down. You fast for 1 whole month and you straitjacket your life. You don't drink, you don't gamble, you don't eat the pig, and on. Allah is not hungry for that. You want salvation? You believe that He sent His Son into the world and He died for your sins and salvation is yours. God Almighty, He came down to earth and He died for your sins. Believe and be saved. And the chief began to cry like a woman who's lost her husband. He started to cry. Actually, he's acting. So he said, you know, I just got the sad news. The Dakhil Jibreel alayhi salam, the Archangel Gabriel, he died. So the priest says, you fool, angels don't die. So the Arab Sheikh says, and you fool, you're telling me that God died?
You spend a lot of time with him, right?
A lot of time, yeah. In fact, every once in a while, almost every year, I go back to South Africa. So people that was dealing with Ahmed Didat invite me from time to time. But Ahmed Didat was a bit debater.
Yeah.
That wasn't my style.
Yeah.
But he was very good. He knew the Bible very well.
Mm-hmm.
And he converted a lot of people, even a lot of Christians. But again, we have a different kind of style.
Yeah.
Now, one of our sheikhs, Dr. Jamal Badawi, when he don't even call it a debate, when he have a discussions with Christians and Jews, it's different from Ahmed Didat. Ahmed Didat, hard hitting, you know, where he hit you hard.
Yeah.
And the Muslims love that. Ahmed Didat. But I do think one thing that I've learned over the years, I appreciate differences of opinion. Mm-hmm. I have no problem with that. I have no problem with people not accepting what we say. In fact, I welcome people to criticize us, to take a look. Muslims may do a lot of things wrong, but Islam is right.
Yes.
You know, Christians may do a lot of bad things, but the message of those prophets were right. And so I think we're trying to get it together, and hopefully we can. Hopefully we can live together. And the beautiful thing about America is that people of different faith can live together. One block. You know, we have people in all kinds of persuasion, all kinds of religion, and that's a good thing. And that's the I think that's the strength of America. that it can accommodate people with different faith. I think that's a good thing.
Thank you. Thank you for spending some time again here with us, Sheikh.
Thank you.
Thank you. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.